I'm hoping that there's a CD in the lobby that I can pick up after this is done. That was good. Thanks, Mo. And no, I'm not going to sing to you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you just to turn to a very, very familiar verse. It's going to be up on the screen in front of you in a minute if you choose just to do that. I'm not going to take a lot of your time. The thoughts I have are very short, I hope, and to the point. Without equal. Without equal is a thought that I had as I considered this time of the year. As I considered what we enjoy because of what Christ has done on our behalf. John 3 and verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And as we process that very familiar verse, there's nothing really complicated about that. And yet, as we explore the thoughts that are put forward, I hope it blows your mind. Because as you process the individual thoughts, the language is very simple, we all know that, but as you process these individual thoughts, I trust that your appreciation of who Jesus is and what God has done on our behalf will take you to a greater depth of love for him. I just have four thoughts very briefly that I want to share with you this morning. But before I do, I'd like you to bow your heads. And we're just going to ask the Lord to bless our time together here this morning just a little further. Father, we are so grateful to you for the witness of these children that we have listened to. Joy to the world. Indeed, Father, joy to the world. The Lord has come. And Father, even though we know the hymn writer had the second coming of the Lord Jesus in mind to this earth to establish his kingdom, Father, for us who know the Lord Jesus, we can say joy to the world, the Lord has come, because the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And so, Father, this morning, in the few minutes that remain, as we consider this verse of Scripture, we pray that by your Spirit you would just help us to leave the cares of this world aside just for a few moments, and that you would have liberty to speak to our hearts individually and draw our attention anew to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Without equal, four very simple thoughts from this verse, and the first one is that God's love is incomparable. God's love is incomparable. In the very first line, we read, "For God so loved the world." There's a love that God has that is incomparable. It is without equal. And who are we talking? We're talking about God himself. God Jehovah, the eternal self-existent one. It's his love towards us. He is without equal in Isaiah 40. We're reminded that he is holy in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord Jesus as he sat on that throne. And he witnessed and saw the holiness of God. You see, it's his love that we're talking about. In Psalm 139, he is thrice magnificent. In the opening six verses, he is omniscient. He knows all things. It is an interesting thing to process that God can't learn anything. Think about that. He knows all things. In the second set of six verses, we're told there that he is omnipresent. There is nothing that escapes his attention anywhere. David said, you know what? If I was able to somehow harness a ray of light and sit on the very front edge of that and stream across the universe. By the time I got to where I was going at that amazing speed, God is already there. He's there. He sees all. And then in the next set of verses from 13 to 18 of Psalm 139, we see that he's omnipotent. God is all-powerful. This is the God whose love we read about in John 3 and verse 16, that God so loved the world. He is entirely sovereign and in control. If you're looking for a little bit of an expansion of the Genesis account of creation, I'd invite you to go to Job chapter 38 and go down to the end of chapter 41, and there you will see the very sovereignty of God, the very control in all things. You see, it is this God, whose love we are reading about in John 3 and 16. It says, for God so loved. You see, his love is unmatched. His love was initiated by him, and no one, I can assure you, has ever loved like God the Father has loved. He loved us when we were ungodly. Romans tells us that. We were sinners. In Jeremiah, we are reminded that the heart of man is desperately wicked and full of deceit. And yet it says, for God so loved the world. So God's love, you see, is incomparable. But we got to go past that. And we need to get down to that second part. It says, God so loved the world. It says that he gave his only begotten son. You see, God's gift to us is indescribable. 2 Corinthians 9 and 15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, his son is precious. His son is precious. The Bible says in Romans 8 that because God himself gave us his son, think about this now, he can freely give to us all things. He did not withhold his own son for our benefit. He will freely give to us all things. You see, the Lord Jesus is a precious gift. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus is precious, and he's precious in value. No gift ever meant so much. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus is precious by reputation. You can't do better than the Lord Jesus. That's why if he's given to us his son, he can freely give to us all things in Romans chapter 8. God's gift is indescribable. And it's given at a considerable cost. You see, it says his only begotten son. In Scripture, as you read through, when things are repeated twice, it's there to give you some clue that we're to pay attention to it. When it says it three times, it's really something to be grabbed. You know, when it says holy, 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 the idea is, I know it's a stretch, but God is holy. But in this verse, we read only begotten. And even though in our English translation they appear to be different, it's the same word in the Greek. And there's an emphasis here that he's the only one. He is the unique one. He is solely the only individual in this capacity. The point of the passage is there is no other Son of God except Jesus. There is no other like him. There is no other that can be compared to him. And so when we think of God's gift as being indescribable, how do you describe the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus? He uniquely and significantly stands alone. You see, in this verse, we read about God's love being incomparable. We see God's gift is indescribable. And we move on to the next part. And this is where it starts to mess with my gray matter. We read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then it says that whoever believes in him, it's God's offer, is unwarranted to the likes of you and me. You see, when I thought about this, I thought about our spiritual emptiness. Something happened in the news not long ago. There was a period of time about 4 years ago where a young man, Afro-American in culture and ethnicity, was killed by a police officer down in the U.S. And just recently that court case came and the officer was acquitted. There was a gentleman named Benjamin Watson. I don't know if you know him. His number is 82. He's a tight end that stands about 6'5" and goes about 255 pounds. And he has a quarterback named Drew Brees. They play for the New Orleans Saints. Benjamin Watson, you see, is of Afro-American ethnicity. And when he heard that this police officer was acquitted, he had a gamut of emotions. He was angry and he was frustrated. He was fearful. He said he was embarrassed. He said he was sad. He was sympathetic. He felt offended and confused. He was introspective. And he felt hopelessness. And yet at the same time, he was hopeful and encouraged. And I want to quote to you what he said. He said he was encouraged. He said, I'm encouraged because the problem is not a skin problem. It is a sin problem. The gospel gives mankind hope. Pray for this man. You see him weekly on television. But he recognized in all the turmoil of the world around us, it's not about skin and ethnicity. As the kids sang, it's not about our appearance. It has to do with our heart. God's love is incomparable. God's gift is indescribable. And when we look at this offer, it is entirely unwarranted. We are spiritually empty. Without Christ, if you were to read further in verse number 18, without Christ, we are already condemned. But praise the Lord. Romans 8 again, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, God's love is incomparable and God's gift is indescribable. God's offer is unwarranted because, listen, it's to whoever believes. Just as I am. As I look out on the audience here this morning and as I think of myself, let me ask you this question. Aren't you glad God's not picky? And if you don't know the answer to that, have you looked in a mirror? Aren't you thankful that God is not picky? God does not look on the outward appearance as man does, but God looks on the heart. And he said, whosoever believes. He's not asked you to scale Everest. He's not asked you to give money to the poor. He's not asked you to be famous in any way. Just as I am. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him. Think about that. And it's because of Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in him. And then we have God's promise. This is amazing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You want to talk about a return on an investment? Just as I am, and he promises that you will never perish and you will have everlasting life. You see, separation from God is averted. We no longer need to be concerned about the condemnation of death, that sentence of death that is on us, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And he says in this verse, we will never perish. And that term perish means to be separated from God's grace forever. To be cut off. And yet he says, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus will never be cut off from the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's promise is entirely undeserved. And he promises us eternal life, everlasting life. We are not talking about the ever-ready bunny here. We are not talking about a battery that just keeps going and going and going. I can tell you that it doesn't. We are talking about everlasting life. The Lord Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I would suggest to you that when he said those words as recorded for us in John chapter 10, he wasn't just thinking about the here and now, but he was thinking about all eternity. I can tell you that the best is yet to come. There are those from amongst us who are there now and are blown away and amazed by the wonders of God. But he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You see, in Romans, it says that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that we are declared to be righteous. We have been justified by faith. We have been declared righteous. You see, when the Lord Jesus came, you see, the penalty of our sin was paid in full. And when we believe and we accept him as our Savior, we are free from the very penalty of death, because death has no more claim upon me because of Jesus Christ. And John 14 reminds me that we will forever be with the Lord. The Lord Jesus in that chapter said to his disciples, he said, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and I do that, I will come back and receive you unto myself. Why? That where I am, there you may be also. You see, in this verse, we see God's love being incomparable. We see that God's gift is indescribable. We see that God's offer is unwarranted and his promise is undeserved. He is without equal. God's love is incomparable. God's gift is indescribable. God's offer to us is unwarranted, and God's promise to us is entirely and completely undeserved. And I've got news for you. It was all for you. It was all for you. If there was nobody else in this room this morning, it was all for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so I have a question for you. How will you respond to that this morning? Let's pray. Father, at this time of year, we are enthralled and reminded entirely of the birth of the Lord Jesus in Bethlehem. And Father, those of us who know your Son, the Lord Jesus, as Savior, Father, we would be quick to point out that he didn't stay in the manger. He grew up. And he did all those things that were well pleasing in your sight. Father, he was able to say that whatever he saw you doing, he did, and whatever he heard you say, he said. Father as he bowed his head in Gethsemane. The strain of what lay before him caused him to say, "If it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he went to the cross. And he paid the penalty of our sin there with his own shed blood. And Father, it is amazing to us that your love was demonstrated for us in that you gave us your Son, the Lord Jesus, as a sacrifice for our sin. We've been reminded in this very well-known verse this morning that your love is incomparable. The gift of your Son to us is indescribable. We have been reminded that your offer to us as a result of all this is unwarranted. And the promises that you have for us are very much undeserved. And yet at this time, we humbly say, thank you. And we praise you from whom all blessings flow. Father, at this very special time of year, may you cause your Spirit to challenge us and to focus our attention not just on a babe in Bethlehem, but on a man who hung on a cross and paid the penalty of our sin, and in whose name we have the justification to come into your presence here this morning and call you Father. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the Savior of the world. Bless us now as we separate, for it's in his name we praise you. Amen. Lord bless you.